session. Have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Spence.
Present via Zoom.
Commissioner Rome.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
Here. Would you all please join me? Pledge your allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And our first item, are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to item five, public comments. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission regarding any topic. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. We don't have anyone else on Zoom and we have no forms. We're going to move right away into our action items. And the first item is budget committee term extension for Randolph McNeil Pad Pedersen.
Thank you, Commissioner. So, Commissioners, I've turned to page 3 of your packet. You have a copy of our current budget committee. As outlined by state law, our budget committee members serve staggered 3-year terms. And so we currently have 4 positions filled on the budget committee with a 5th that's been vacant since last year. What we're asking for tonight is approval from the commission to renew the term of Mr. Randolph Pedersen. It goes by Tad. His current term expired June 30th of last year. And so by extending his term, he would serve through June 30th of 2027. Additionally, we have been posting and at various times bumped it to the top of like our social media posts, trying to fill that vacant budget committee position. So if anybody's interested or knows of somebody interested, we do have an ongoing vacancy on the budget committee.
Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I think Tad is doing a fine job.
Okay. Anybody else? And I certainly agree. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous decision. Our next item is Northwest Forest Lease Amendment. Mr. Gardner.
Commissioners, on page 4 of your packet, you have a draft lease amendment between the Port of Astoria and Northwest Forest Link. Some of the key points to this amendment, the biggest one being that there would be a 4-month standby rate that would move into effect beginning March 1st and cover the months of March, April, May, and June of 2025, during which time there would be no export operation on the pier, and the lease rate would be reduced to $1,467. We've had a number of discussions with Northwest Forest Link, and I think the port is committed to doing what we can to support their operation. Our most recent meeting, which included Commissioner Stevens, they outlined some of the various challenges that they're facing right now. As the commission's aware, our current lease with Northwest Forest Link is pretty short term. It actually was originally a 2-year term that will carry us through the end of this calendar year, so the end of December 2025. I think both parties, both the port and Northwest Forest Link, desire to have a long-term relationship and do everything we can to make this operation successful. And so I think this is an attempt from the port's point of view to really help them while for facing these challenges while volumes have been low to hopefully build up this business over time. And so we do have Ray Levy here from Northwest Forest Link. If the commission has any questions for him or wants to hear from him, he's here. But staff is recommending that we approve this lease amendment, which would, again, take effect on March 1st of 2025.
Thank you. I'd like to hear from Mr. Levy if you go over some of the items that we discussed when we were together in our small meeting. And
sure.
I attended the back brief of another commissioner and it totally escaped my opportunity. So if you want to, all commissioners can listen up to what the factors are that drove you to want to do this.
Yeah, so one of the bigger factors is the unknowns of the tariffs. No one knows when that's really going to kick in or even happen, if they will. So that is a kind of a red flag for us to be a little bit cautious on our going forward actions.
Yes, sir.
That has some, you know, wild times are tough. We need to weather the storm, and part of that storm, if you will, the hail of the storm, is the tariffs. But leading to this, you know, you had Chinese, the economy there lagging. You know, their economy is in pretty poor shape, considerably poorer than ours. And you had, leading into this, the folks going into Chinese New Year. They're back now. This is their first kind of official week back to work. And during that time, you have New Zealand and Australia are their two biggest producers of radiata pine. And China, just like anywhere else, they're going to consume the cheapest products available. You know, our wood, the white woods and Doug fir that we were sending there, the conifers, we would like to see a premium for those products. But when your price gap between, say, $60 a ton difference, you know, the obvious choice is they're going to go with the cheaper material. So leading into the beginning of Chinese New Year, there was about 4.6 million cubic meters. And cubic meters is a little bit different. If you think of it one for one ton, so 4.6 million tons of inventory. The daily consumption at that time was about, let's just say, 50,000 tons a day. And that inventory has continued to climb since they've been off on holiday. Now that they're returning, maybe next week we'll understand the daily consumption to eat away that 4.6 million tons. You know, another way of looking at it, one of these log trucks is roughly about 27 to 30 tons. And there's today 4.6 million tons. It's a lot of inventory. On a lagging economy, there's not a lot of takeaway. So one thing that we suspect is that the Chinese government will inject a bunch of money into the systems to give the consumers a little bit more confidence and buy some stuff. That would mean infrastructure and other items being purchased, which would drive the overall economy there. So we approached Will and said, hey, we're having some tough times. We'd like to stay here. You know, the public been real grateful for us being here for the most part, and we enjoy working with Will and Matt and the other folks here inside the office. There is an opportunity to do more volume than what we did. We just got to weather this storm, and you know, each month having money go out and nothing come in, you know, like anything, no one's gonna put up with that for too long and try to wash we like it down here. We like the area. We'd like to stay. We just got to get through this little storm here.
I talked to somebody and they mentioned that with all the storms they've had on the East Coast and the fires they've had on the West Coast in California, there would be a huge demand for timber, which would, of course, drive the prices up. That doesn't help you out, does it?
Unfortunately, no. It doesn't help us. And it's really, if you look at the 1.3 to 1.4 million home starts each year, that did significant damage in the fire, even though it was significant, it's only a 0.01% of the overall market. it's not even going to have a blip on the overall. Yeah. One thing that will have a huge blip is if they put the tariffs on Canada. I would say probably 25 to 35% of all lumber comes from Canada. They put a tariff on that, that all stops. That means these local sawmills here, the price is just going to go through the roof. And then, unfortunately for me, as being an exporter, that makes it even harder for me to export anything, because everybody will keep all their products here at home. But at some point, these these timberlands will overproduce. And where we were at prior to this is the timberlands were overproducing wood. And just like supply and demand market, if you oversupply it, the price goes down. So these guys really kind of needed us to be around to take that excess volume offshore and keep a somewhat of a bottom on the overall market. Sawmills, they probably prefer us to go, but the landowners definitely want us to be around. Like I said, it puts a bottom on how low that cost can go.
So in 4 months from now, then we'll see?
Yeah, actually mid-March, we should get an extremely good feel for the daily consumption that's eating away that 4.6 million tons, if you will, of inventory. If we see over 50,000 cubic meters a day going out the door at various areas throughout China, the price will go up. You know, one thing prior to all this is the freight was about $1.5 million. You know, that's quite a bit. Today's rate is about $1 million, but slowly going up. So every ship we did, you know, we kind of looked at the rates for that day, and we matched them up with what we can sell at that time, and when we can get an LC. Through the last maybe 6 to 8 months, we were in a little different phase of the market. The market was slowing down, their economy was slowing down, and you had to get an LC before you even thought about chartering a ship. You could not send a ship over there without an LC, a line of credit, if you will. Because then you're at the mercy of the customer saying, oh, the price needs to be $50 below what we quoted you. But with an LC, that locks that price in. But the wild card was the freight, with the huge fluctuation. Every ship we did, our longshoremen did a great job loading the vessels. We thought we had planned quite well, but the freight threw a monkey wrench in on us. And unfortunately, we lost money on every vessel, the four vessels we sent out of here. But that's the name of the game. We're log traders. We expect to win some, we expect to lose some. But we've lost quite a few. And for an employee, back to my employer, I need to be responsible. I just can't have him keep throwing money down the drain. Otherwise, I won't be here. So we kind of brainstormed, came up with some ideas. You know, this was one of them. Mm-hmm. It keeps us in the game, keeps us here. Like I was saying, just got to weather the storm.
More questions for Mr. Levy?
Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
training pad.
Thank you.
We have a draft lease that you need to look at. That would be the basis for our motion.
Mr. Chair, move we approve the First Amendment to the commercial lease agreement between the Port of Astoria and Northwest Forest Link.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion?
Commissioner, just for the sake of those in attendance and in the public, I did want to point out on section 2.1 of the amendment, it does outline the arrangement that during this standby or abatement period, that the port would have the ability to terminate on 15 days notice, which is much different than the original lease. But in essence, Northwest Forest Link would have a first right of refusal to then resume paying full payment. So the scenario would be, and again, for the protection of the public, really, in the interest of the public, that if, you know, tomorrow we have a tenant come forward and say, hey, we'll pay you full rent, and we would like to lease that space, that Northwest Forest Link would then have the option to get rid of the abatement, continue paying their full lease amount, and then just continue with the lease. However, if they would choose not to do that, then the port would have the option to terminate and then engage with another tenant. That's in the short term probably not real realistic, but I think it's important to have that in there, just because this is such a steep discount, that I think it was important for the port to at least have that option, and especially with a lot of the movement we're going to be having here with the development around the West Basin, if there are opportunities that come forward, I think it's reasonable that the port would at least explore those options. And I think Northwest Forest Link understood that as well. Given the backdrop of both parties, would, as I said earlier, would really like to make this work long term.
That's a very wise section to place into this. Commissioner Spence, you have any discussion, questions?
Can't hear you.
Yep.
Commissioner Spence, any questions?
I have no, thank you.
Okay. Further discussion by the commission. We do expect the unstable market conditions to work itself out in the time frame that, of this lease amendment.
Yes, that's our.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You have unanimous approval. Now come to action item C, the final action item, Pier 1 generator project. Director Isom.
Thank you, Commissioner. So this action item is a follow-up to several discussions we've had at meetings, as well as a presentation at our last meeting from Tony Bogue with Bogue Electric. And this stems from really a disagreement between the port and Bogue when it comes to the language of the request for proposal that we put out, and how it applies to some Pacific Power charges in the amount of $6,939. And so I did put on the desk up there a copy, it's actually an email from Matt outlining the language that we had referenced in the proposal, as well as the amount under dispute. So this was a contract that was approved by the commission, and as such, I think staff has done the right thing, and I think we have enforced the contract as it was written. But now this is on the agenda as an action item for consideration from the commission, if it's the desire of the commission to participate in some or all of these specific power costs, again, in the amount of $6,939.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I've read over this contract over time. This thing is absolutely pure white. It covers everything. And it's switched over and everything. And I think that we step off of that, we're going to open up a very dangerous situation here at the port, and as much as we're going to be contracting in Pier 2, a lot of contracts going out there. Everybody's be hollering for a change order. This is kind of dangerous what you're doing here. I think the contract was absolutely airtight, and they screwed up. All I can say is I don't think I would vote for this.
You want to make a motion?
He doesn't need to. Doing nothing would put in a fire motion.
I think you're right. We did get a non-action, an informational presentation by Mr. Bowe at the last could be appropriate for us to go ahead and vote on that in order to solve the issue. I agree with you that we could just let the contract sit as it is, but would anyone care to make a motion either for or against?
Well, one more comment. Inasmuch as this contract is absolutely flawless, I would say, why would you open it up with a change order? That's why I don't.
What I heard from, I know personally Tony Bowe, his integrity, his character, and the point he made is in all his 40 years in work, he's never seen this type of thing happen with a power company. And, you know, I don't know much more than that, but I believe him, and it's a big hardship for him. I think we can consider meeting him somewhere halfway, possibly.
It's also a hardship for us.
It is.
We're not cash flush either, you know.
But he still, I think his price is still the lowest of the bids.
He had a chance to get out right before the commission meeting, and he said he could do it for that. I mean, he convinced us that he could do it for what he had bid in. So, we start that, we're starting a dangerous game here with the bidding process, I can tell you.
I think it's the position of the staff is that there is no error in the contract as written. So, if the staff were to concede, they would have to contradict themselves. So I think that's why the staff recommendation is, or was, is to bring it to the commission if the commission so desired to do something. I also know Tony Howell, respect in the world for him. He did suggest, I believe, if I heard correctly, meeting halfway. At the very most, I would be open to meeting halfway, but I can't dispute the staff or what Commissioner Campbell's analysis of the contract. So I could use some money too.
You need a motion?
I don't think you need a motion. But
I understand that position, and if that's the commission doesn't desire, if we don't a motion.
If we don't do nothing,
then
it stands as it is. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, just for the record, I feel right divided about it as well, but I think Commissioner Campbell has a point that this would be precedent setting.
Yeah.
Who's the next contractor who comes in and does a job, bids on a job, and then says it cost me more than I thought? I think that we also should note, as Commissioner Rohn said, the staff did recommend that we take the other bid, but although it was higher, that company had done some previous work and was put in a better position to understand what the cost was going to be. And that's just the history of it. With that, without further discussion, unless someone has something else to say, we will dismiss the Pier 1 Generator Project action item. Deanna, would you see if Commissioner Spence has any further comments on the Pier 1 Generator Project?
Commissioner Spence, any further comments?
No, nothing further.
Okay, we're going to move on to Commissioner comments. Mr. Campbell.
I don't know that I have anything here. I guess there's going to be a meeting here on the 3rd where the state, the Commission of Aeronautics is going to show up in town at the county building downtown, gathering and the report from the county and the entities are all going to be there to hear what they got to offer for next year. And I suppose everybody's invited to that. They want to go down to, it starts at 9 o'clock on the 3rd, I think it is.
Public meeting?
Yeah.
That's in April.
Is that April?
April.
Okay. What did I say?
You said the 3rd.
The
3rd. So people.
3rd of April.
March, yeah.
Well, he meant the 3rd month.
Yeah.
Thank you, President Campbell. Commissioner Rowan?
I don't have anything to add.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Spence, anything for Commissioner comments?
Yes, the Clatsop Cruise Host Committee will be meeting there in the commission chambers this Friday, beginning at 1 o'clock. It will be the first opportunity to get to hear the forthcoming excuse me, schedule for cruise ships coming in this spring. So it'll be an update committee. Excuse me. The meeting is open to the public and will be viewable via Zoom.
Thank
That's
you.
All
Commissioner Hill? Thank you, sir. I have nothing remarkable to add. I just want to reveal to the public and the commissioners that, full disclosure, I have met with three candidates who wanted to know what it was like to be a commissioner and asked me about a little bit about the port. And they have all filed for a seat on the port commission in for the election in May. And I provided general information on the port status projects. And that's all I have to report. Executive Director comments, item 8.
Thank you, Commissioner. So I have a shorter list than normal here. Did want to mention as far as the election goes, when it's election time, it's always an interesting time for staff as you have folks running for office. So I just wanted to say for the public's sake, kind of my stance and role in this, and I've talked to some individuals that either had some interest in filing or that have filed, but you know, I have an open door policy with this stuff to share information about the port. If people want to know more or if they have specific questions about the port, I'm more than happy to answer those. Obviously, there's a line there in terms of like I can't get involved in elections strategy or you know, in any way sort of interfering with the process. But I do think it's important for to have as informed of candidates as possible. So for those who have filed or are thinking of filing, if you need information or have questions that you would like to speak with me about or send me an email, I'm more than happy to do that. The deadline for filing is March 20th, so March 20th is the deadline for that. We do have a town hall this weekend, and I apologize, I'm a little late with the message. We actually just got the email late last week, but Senator Merkley, along with Congresswoman Bonamici, will be in town this Saturday, the 22nd, at Clatsop Community College for a town hall. There is a local leaders portion of the town hall that takes place a half hour before the 2 o'clock public town hall, so that's at 1:30. If there's any commissioners interested in going to that 1:30 to 2 o'clock portion, if maybe you could let us know right after the meeting tonight and we can send the RSVP. I think the RSVPs are actually supposed to be in by tonight, although I think there's some leeway on that. So even if you know by tomorrow or Thursday, we can let them know. So that's 1:30 to 2 is the local leaders meeting. That's at Towler Hall, 207 Towler Hall at the college. And then from 2 to 3 is the public town hall, and that's at the gym gymnasium at Clatsop Community College. And again, that's with both Senator Merkley as well as Congresswoman Buonamici. Two other quick ones here. So I did get a message from the city manager of the city of Warrenton. They're continuing to seek grant opportunities for their wastewater treatment plant. We had approved, and Commissioner Stevens put together a fairly brief letter of support for their grant application here several months ago. The city manager had asked if we could basically send over the same letter with a more current date for another grant application they were doing. And so Commissioner Stevens, I don't know if that's something that you would be willing to do. I think you actually have the template for this letter that you had sent in to staff back in November. So if it's okay by the commission, I think it's probably reasonable that we provide that letter, especially given the fact that we're trying to work with the city of Warrenton to get approval for our mitigation plan for a Pier 2 project. So just wanted to put that on your radar. And then one little piece of kind of sad news, one of our long-term employees, and she's actually a staff member that has worked off-site now for about 5 years, announced that she would be leaving the port in 30 days. So Kate Fleischman, who does our billing, receivables, also assists with payroll, she had started at the port here in the office, and then her husband was in the Coast Guard, and so they were here for a few years, and then ultimately were stationed down in Florida, and so she did such a great job for us that we didn't, at that point, we didn't really do remote employees or online work, but because of the nature of her job and the quality of her work, we've been able to keep her on as a remote worker, and she's really done a wonderful job over the years. I think she's right at 9 years with the port. So sad to see that she will be leaving. So actually just today we were working on getting her job posted to get somebody in here as quick as we can. We're hoping that we could have at least a little bit of overlap. I don't know if we'll get somebody in here quite that soon. Just want to thank her for the work she put in, and she's really worked hard to improve a lot of our processes. I mean, she came on to the port at a time that a lot of things were still done on pencil and paper with binders, and she helped automate a lot of that process. And so really gonna miss having her, especially, you know, working on the revenue side, and there's just there's certain things that you just gain over time in terms of knowledge that, you know, she can just look at things and kind of know if they look right or wrong. It's hard to teach a new person, and so definitely going to miss her and want to thank her for, again, her 9 years with the Corps. And so you should be seeing if it hasn't already posted a posting for that job. So that concludes my comments.
Questions for the director? Hearing nothing further, our upcoming meeting dates, we have a regular session on March 4th, 4 p.m., Airport Advisory Committee meeting, March 17th at 4 p.m., and that will be at the airport?
Yeah.
And a workshop session for the Port Commission on March 18th at 4 p.m. Anything further? Meeting is adjourned.